ego believes that guilt is salvation. Guilt will give me greatness and forgiveness and heaven. The more guilty I feel, the greater my chances of heaven. This is not true. Guilt is the ego's plan for salvation. It is not Christ's plan for salvation. Christ's plan for salvation is right now. You are the Son of God right now. You don't need the game of guilt to become Son of God. You're already Son of God. You say, no, I'm this bad thing, horrible little slinky creature. Then I have to create guilt and then get forgiveness and then do more guilt and more forgiveness. And Christ is saying, arre, bhava, sapna dekh raha hai, uth ja. You have not done anything wrong. You don't need any punishment. Nothing has ever happened. You say, no, I want to be guilty. I'm a bad person. I'm bitchy and this. And again, you'll go into guilt. Now what you're doing is stubbornly following the ego's plan for salvation, which means you're refusing to listen to Christ. So if you're refusing to listen, you should take ownership for that. That's why I say, tap on, I love guilt. I'm going to keep it. I will put it in a bank account to keep it safe. I will not let Gigi take it only. And when will you decide how much guilt is enough? How many years or how many episodes or events of guilt are going to be enough? So that's how lifetimes after lifetimes are wasted, no? Because you don't know what is enough. I mean, you've already been guilty thousands of times, right?
Yeah.
So what has it got you?
Nothing.
Then?
Waste of time.
And yet, because it has not been examined or seen with awareness, it looks like, no, I'll get something. But you haven't got anything with these 1,000 episodes of guilt, and you'll probably do 1,000 more, and so what? So guilt is the false plan for salvation. Guilt, sacrifice, suffering, self-judgment, any form of self-flagellation. It is the ego's plan for salvation. It is the false plan for salvation. It will not work. Because every time you are creating guilt, you are also generating the sense that there is actually a person who is guilty. The guilt also fortifies the sense of me. Again, to be guilty, you need a person, no? Now, what if there's no person inside? What if there's just pure consciousness there? Then who the hell is feeling guilty? And who is going to get salvation? There's no one inside to get salvation. And does the consciousness inside you or the light inside you even need salvation? Or is it already free? So why this convoluted games of guilt and self-punishment? All these convoluted games prove only one thing. I want to deny my true nature. I want to resist my true nature. I want to postpone accepting my true nature. So if I want to postpone what is already present, if I want to deny what is already present, I have to make some cockeyed plan and keep running on that track.
Yeah.
Right? And then keep running and banging my head and failing and then crying and then running and then crying and then, Gigi, I'm doing so much but I'm not reaching anywhere. You are insisting on following the wrong plan. Tell me what you're getting.
Yeah, I'm insisting on following the ego's plan for salvation, which is through guilt.
Yes.
But yeah, again, I'm wanting it and I need it and I enjoy it. This is something which I have to, as you said, I have to really sit with it.
Yeah. Oh, if you even remember this much, that I want it, I need it, I love it, and you just tap for 5 minutes, it's gone. The very fact that you've taken ownership and said that, okay, I'm creating this, 90% is knocked out there only. Because otherwise guilt comes in, you know, it is like, there's an inbuilt component of victim. Okay?
Yeah.
There's the crying. Why are you crying? You're enjoying a wonderful guilt experience. What are you crying about?
Yeah. I'm just misled by the fact that I'm choosing it because I believe there's a salvation through it.
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm not seeing.
Yes. Isn't it wonderful to know that it is our own miscreation?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and we have the power to undo that. And we don't even have to undo the guilt. We have to undo the value that we think it gives, which is salvation. Once we become clear that guilt is not going to give salvation, then it's very easy to keep unraveling. Tell me what you're getting.
I have always felt that, you know, guilt is salvation, or guilt equates to holiness. And for me to understand that, yes, I'm already the child of God, is quite a breakthrough. Because I'm already whole and complete, I'm already, you know, spotless and innocent, then why the hell do I have to use the crutches of guilt?
So the only function of guilt is to keep you away from God. Is to keep you believing that you don't deserve to be with the divine. You're not ready. So you have to become a much, 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 much better person before you can get the blessings of the Creator. And now what that, you know, how to become a perfect person and how many lives it takes to be a good person, now that is all arbitrary. So it can take a long time. But now what we are doing is trying to fix an imaginary person into becoming a perfect person or a perfect human being.
Yeah.
Now this person itself is just a bunch of stories. In stillness, the person completely disappears. Now how do you perfect this person who doesn't exist? Not possible. Not possible at all. And yet that's what we do. We keep bashing this apparent person and trying to make it better. And Jesus is saying, wake up from this dream of guilt. You're seeing the dream of guilt. And you're seeing the dream of salvation through guilt. The question is, are we willing to stop playing these games? You should get up in the morning with this question. How am I going to create guilt today? What creative ways will I use to create guilt? That today, okay, today I will spend like 2 hours watching Netflix and then I'll feel guilty about that. Or today let's do something different. Let's eat nonsense, horrible food and then feel guilty about that. Or today let's shout at Deen for no rhyme or reason and feel guilty about that. Or today I will do extra shopping and feel guilty. That's why I said I love guilt. I want guilt. I need guilt. And become that, you know, connect with that devious part of you which plans it.
I really like the question that you asked me to ask. What are the creative ways that I will use to feel guilty today?
Yeah. If you expose those plans, then you can't do them, you see.
Yes.
Then you know, achha, ye plan hai, so then we don't want to do that. Yeah. Why not just be happy all the time? You are happy always. That's your true nature, you see. You keep interfering with that. We all interfere with that. My true nature, if we don't do any drama, if we don't do any of these creative strategies, is perfect happiness. Our true nature is perfect happiness. But we think, nahi yaar, I need strategies to find perfect happiness or peace or salvation. So what strategy will I use today? Then it starts. Don't do any strategy, you're in perfect peace and happiness. Then you're just being. And you're effortlessly responding to life from the space of being. And slowly, slowly, all of that also goes. Then you don't have a sense of living a life only. Yeah, it's very weird what to call life. What am I? Are you living? Am I living? I don't know what I do also. I have no way to describe my life, or this life, or whatever it is that we call life. This is nothing but just perceptions. We call perceptions life. Yeah, perceiving thoughts and sensations, we call it life. When thoughts and perceptions stop, we call it death. But that is not life and that is not death. The entire drama of perception, or the entire game of perception, is like fake. It's make-believe. It's all illusion. So everything that occurs in the field of perception is anyway to be taken very lightly. Because in truth, it's not really happening. There's just a feeling that it's happening. And the one who is noticing all this, or witnessing all this, or who is behind all this, is unaffected by this game of perception. I am not affected. This is like a nice affirmation. I am not affected by my thoughts or sensations. I am not affected by anything that happens in the body, mind, or world. I am the pure consciousness which is unaffected by anything that occurs in the body, mind, or world. If we believe that we are affected by thoughts or sensations or pain or anything, then we are constantly going to be living in fear. Because we are always going to be on guard. That which thought, I hope that thought doesn't come up. I hope that memory doesn't come up. I hope that pain doesn't start again. And how can there be peace and happiness? If we are terrified of our own body mind, how can there be peace and happiness? What are you getting?
Suddenly it's feeling me quiet. Ultimately, if you go to see, there is no one inside. I am actually claiming to be the one who is victimized, affected, or feeling guilty. But I'm continuous series of stories going, flashing across the head, and I choose to pick up one story one day and give it some creative meaning. And basically, it's just the whole angle is to forget. Just to forget.
Yes. It's an interesting example I can give you is like a little child, 4-5 year old child, is happily napping in the arms of his father. Okay?
Yeah.
But while he's napping comfortably in the arms of his father, he suddenly starts dreaming. And he dreams of goblins and monsters and all kinds of dangers and hell and, you know. Though he's happily sleeping in the arms of his father. So he starts dreaming of all these scary things. So then he's asking his father, you know, hey, there's this danger, there's this goblin, there's this demon. And the father just telling the son, hey, there's nothing there, just wake up. You're sleeping, you're dreaming. Said, no, there's this goblin who's chasing me, there's this monster here, tell me how to do this. Give me a miracle. Show me how to do miracle. Show me how to do healing. My leg is broken in the dream. Give me magic powers. The father again says, son, you are just dreaming. Nothing is happening. So that's pretty much our state. You know. We're dreaming. We are dreaming of a life with these so-called bodies in a so-called world. We're dreaming of a life full of danger. There's danger at every turn. There's not just your mind and body that is threatening you. Everything in manifestation is threatening you. Your friends, your colleagues. Who is not threatening you? Where are you not threatened? So this dream is a dream of constant threat. We are constantly in a state of threat. But Jesus keeps saying, you're dreaming. Wake up. He said, no. Solve this for me first. So the solving thing is needed a little bit to come to a certain level of sanity, but solving and fixing can become its own form of addiction and its own trap.
Mm-hmm.
So the real question is, what would it mean to wake up from this? What would it mean to truly see this as a dream? Tell me what's coming up.
I think it probably starts with a certain willingness.
No, it starts and ends with willingness. That's all there is. What else is there? And if we are not willing, we should acknowledge that we are not willing. And most minds are not willing. They want to continue the dream and fight in the dream.
If this is all a dream, then why is there so much of fear associated with relationship, with job, with money?
So the fear is there because you don't believe it's a dream.
Yes, Dhiru.
You believe it is real. And again, I'm saying you don't just believe it is real. You want it to be real. Just you want guilt and you love guilt and you want guilt to be real. I told you there's no such thing as guilt. You're miscreating it. Right? But you want to keep creating it and believing it is real because it will give you salvation or happiness or fulfillment. So same way you want to believe this world is real. So our belief makes everything real. And when we withdraw our belief in something, it starts to fade. It becomes faded. I often feel like I live in a faded life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels faded, like there's nothing sharp.
So I'm choosing to believe that this is not a dream because I want it that way.
Yes. Yeah.
And all this while I was just telling myself that I've still not got it, I've not reached there. Yes. There is still time to understanding this. Why do I love this dream? I mean, my mind
you
is like...
You believe it is going to give you something, obviously.
Yes, it is.
So the answer is the same answer which came connected to guilt. You believe you can find salvation through this world. And if I can just manipulate this world in the right way, I will find perfect peace and happiness here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can find perfect peace and happiness without any requirement of God or the Creator or the Divine. I will find it in my own unique way here, by creating my own unique life with my own unique friends, family, job. I will create my own world. I don't need the Creator. So this is my attempt to find salvation without God.
The entire dream?
Yes. The entire dream of manifestation is an attempt to find salvation without God, peace and happiness without God. And hence, thereby defeating Him. I'm saying, I don't need you.
Is this all true?
Check and see.
Like right now, the dream is required because there is a belief that salvation is going to be achieved through this dream.
Yeah.
But if I come to believe that this is all a dream, then what happens to the salvation? Yeah.
What happens when you realize this whole thing is a dream? What is the first thing that will happen? The first thing that will happen is you will start resting completely within yourself. The mind will be quiet. Because it has nothing to do, nowhere to go, nothing to achieve in the world. So it starts to rest within itself. The moment it rests within itself, the glimpses of God are there straight away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, this is strong. Thanks.
Ask Rakesh more if you want to say
something. So actually, right now, that's what I'm feeling. Again, I'm using a very twisted form to basically reach God, because I have always felt that...
It's not you. It's the whole game is only set up like that. Don't make yourself different.
Yes.
But you're right about the twisted. Yes, it is twisted. What are you noticing? Tell me.
Yeah, so I'm just feeling that the very fact I want to believe this is a dream, because I don't want to give up this dream, because I would rather want to perfect the dream.
So just check the validity of that statement. Is there any possibility of anyone perfecting the dream? Where does the dream always end?
Suffering.
In death. Yeah.
Yeah.
And recycling and start again. And death and recycle and death. So who masters the dream?
Well,
nobody can master the dream. How can you master a dream? I mean, it's like a emergency taking a nap in the afternoon. And, you know, like, what's there to master? You just have to get up from it. The moment you get up, you come back to yourself, you revert. You revert to true nature immediately. It's like, imagine your hand is holding a burning coal. You're holding a burning coal in your hand. So what happens when you leave the coal? Your hand reverts back to its original state. So the same thing with this dream. This three-dimensional, so-called three-dimensional universe. Then as we leave or loosen our grip on it, immediately we return to true state. And many times they use the word samadhi. Yeah, the state of perfect peace and stillness. Where there is no body, there's no mind, there's no world. Which is why those lessons are so important. Nothing I see means anything. Nothing I think means anything. Nothing I see means anything. Nothing I hear means anything. Nothing I say means anything. So those statements are all for dismantling the dream.
There's a certain lightness, you know, like when you talk this.
Yes.
There is a certain willingness to let go of and just feel lighthearted.
Absolutely. That sense of lightness that you feel is a sign that you're close to the truth. Heaviness means you're locked into the dream. So lightness and lightheartedness are both signs that you're close to the truth.
It's actually always coming to the main thing, which is knowing that it is a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of playing at the lower levels of, you know, guilt and... I want this dream. I'm loving this dream and I need this dream.
Yeah. What happens when you don't need it anymore? You said you need this dream. What happens if you don't need this anymore for anything? In fact, you realize that it's actually hurting you at some level. Giving you an unpleasant experience. Not really hurting you. But generating an unnecessarily unpleasant experience. It's like seeing a bad movie on Netflix.